The power of words in our life. You think about those words that come into your life on a daily basis. Hundreds of them, thousands of them. You know, there's a saying that says, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt you. Is that a true saying?
Nope.
Not at all. We need to guard what we say. We need to be aware of what we say. And when we say things that are not right, we need to apologize for those. I'm going to share some words with you. It's interesting just to think about them for a second and how they impact your lives. You know, a couple of years ago, these words would probably have meant nothing. But how about the words 9/11? When you think of those words and just what took place on that day, the way history changed on that day. 9/11. Even within the last month, if I say the word embedded, that have a whole different meaning. I was told this week that in the computer industry, that is a very common term. But for most of us that don't work in that industry, to hear the term a reporter embedded with a particular military group, it's almost as if it's being used in a new way. Embedded. How about the term Disneyland? Now that's a good term. What comes to your mind when you think of the word Disneyland? Good things. Mickey and Minnie and Donald. Words have an impact in our lives. How about the word forsaken? You think of that word, just the simple word forsaken. You think of what emotions come into your heart, what thoughts cross your mind. We're going to talk about that word this morning. What it meant for Jesus Christ, yes, but what it means for us today. And you will go away rejoicing because of that word. We're in a series, and this series is entitled Christ's Last Words. On the cross, there were seven different sayings. Today we are looking at, why have you forsaken me? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for these words that were given by you over 2,000 years ago. Thank you that as we live our life today and as we look back on this phrase, there is immense hope and rejoicing in our hearts because of these words that you shared. Guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. Sayings on the cross. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at a couple of them. One of them was, today in paradise. And when we think of these words, today in paradise, we think of what happens when a believer dies. We think of those words, today you will be with me in paradise. And the power of those words and the hope that we have. Last week, we looked at, here is your son. And as we talked about, here is your son, we talk about new relationships begin at the cross. And we looked at some of those relationships between John and Mary. And Jesus established a new relationship there. And when a believer comes to the cross, there are new relationships that are begun. Today, we're going to look at a verse in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. What we're going to do this morning is I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you will. Please stand up. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, if we can bring that up. And I would like you to repeat this verse with me. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. With me. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You may be seated. My God, why have you forsaken me? You've read this verse, I'm sure, a number of times. Awesome words, powerful words, but let me ask you this, what do they mean to you? What do they mean to us today? My God, why have you forsaken me? I think it can refer to a number of things. An aspect of it has to do with the physical suffering that Jesus was enduring on the cross. Before he ever got to the cross, I was told this week in talking with someone that there were 7 different meetings that he went through. There were questions asked. At times he was beaten. Before he ever got to the cross, he went through an incredibly difficult ordeal. And they laid him down on a wooden cross. And last week, as I shared with you, just a sound that it may have heard, they may have heard that were around in that area. So I took the 2 hammers and made that sound. Then they would pick the cross up. There was a hole prepared. And they would literally ram the cross down into the hole. They were not real gentle with it. They didn't care. The Romans didn't care. These were worthless people they were crucifying. And so when they would slam that cross into that hole, into the ground, very often the people who were crucified went through extreme pain. You see, the death on the cross was most often a death of suffocation. Maybe you don't know this. But later in the day, after hours and hours, a Roman guard would come with a metal rod and go up to the prisoners and break their legs. I know that's a bit graphic, but that is what happened. So they could not push up and they would suffocate themselves. Christ endured, although his legs were never broken, he endured that kind of a death. And I think too often we kind of just, it's a cross. No, it's much more than that. It's a terrible death in which he endured for us. Was there psychological anguish involved in these words? There was some physical anguish. But what about psychological anguish that was involved? Bring up Matthew 27, the verse before it, verse 45. From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, darkness came over the land. How long has Jesus been on the cross now? Many hours. Many hours. Darkness was over the land. You see, he had enjoyed the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And very close to this hour, something was happening. He was becoming separated from that relationship with God the Father. It's something that we cannot even completely understand, but yet it took place. These words are literal. My God, why have you forsaken me? When you think about that, I had the opportunity to talk to some people this week about what those words mean. If you're not sure, that's okay. What they fully mean. I looked up a couple of quotes. One of them is by Spurgeon, who is a theologian of a past day. Another one is Luther, one of the reformers that helped reform Christianity. Spurgeon says, there is no deep plummet that can fathom the meaning of this saying. There is no eagle's eye that can penetrate the mystery that surrounds this strange question. My God, why have you forsaken me? After pondering this for many hours, Martin Luther exclaimed, God forsaking God? No man can understand that. What exactly do these words mean? I don't believe we'll ever be able to fully understand what it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, this particular passage records the event. The rest of the New Testament begins to explain this event and what it meant, and what it meant for you and what it meant for me. You see, Jesus Christ died spiritually and he died physically on the cross. And as he died, he was forsaken by God. I can't completely explain that for you. Although, what most would say is that at this point, the sin of the entire world was placed on Jesus Christ. Every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that you or I have ever done, was placed on Jesus Christ at this point. Have you ever told a lie? That sin was placed on Jesus Christ. Have you ever stole? That sin was placed on Jesus Christ. Have you ever lusted or done anything like that? That sin was placed on Jesus Christ. Something amazing was taking place at that point. At that moment, when all of our sin was placed on him, God turned his back. It's about as best I can, the best I can do with that. God turned his back for just a moment on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he knew it. Now, we hear those words and we wonder, is there any connection between that and us? Let's see if we can make some connection between those words and where you and I live today. Okay, on your outline, why was Christ forsaken? Why was he forsaken? The answer is this: in order to pay for your sin. He was forsaken by God in order to pay for your sin and for my sin. And at that moment in history, he's forsaken. He is paying the penalty for our sin. 1 Peter 3:18 talks about this. Jesus Christ did this once, forever. And this is very important. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once, for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but was made alive by the Spirit. Jesus Christ died for sins once and for all. He paid the penalty. He paid for your sins. One of my favorite hikes is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's on a conference center called Glen Eyrie. It's the international headquarters of the Navigators. It's about 300 acres. The founder of the Navigators is a man by the name of Dawson Trotman. And he worked with Billy Graham. And together, they worked together until finally he felt a call from the Lord to establish an international organization called the Navigators. And he was in the process of doing that. And this was in the 1950s. He happened to be on a boat in New York later, after the Navigators Conference Center was established. And one thing about Dawson Trotman is he was a pretty tenacious individual, but he didn't know how to swim. a little girl fell off the boat. And Dawson Trotman, knowing he couldn't swim, dove in the water after her. He had to go underwater a ways to get her. He did that and then somehow managed to kick back up to the surface and hold her above the water. He did that. They grabbed the little girl. But when they turned around to grab him, he was gone. He died in order for that little girl to have life. In the same way, Jesus Christ died for you and me to have life. That is the greatest message. Somebody died for you. Somebody cared enough for you to die for you. Why was Christ forsaken? Well, if he wouldn't have been, you or I never would have the opportunity to go to heaven. He was forsaken in order to pay for my sin, in order to pay for your sin. As horrible as this sounds, I want you to know this morning there is good news. What's the result of this? Yes, we focus on the cross, and we should never forget that. But what's the good news for us because of that? What I want to do is kind of turn a corner here and talk about that. When Jesus Christ was forsaken by God for you, the fact is now you will never be forsaken by God. Let's go to your outline. The result for us, what is one of the results, and this is great news. We should glory in this. You won't ever be forsaken by God. Because Jesus Christ was, you never will if you know Him. That is great news. Great, great news. Romans chapter 8. What we're going to do is go through about four verses here. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword?" Is anything going to separate you from Christ? And he lists a whole bunch of things. Verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, not even death, will separate you from God. Neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers." Verse 39, read this verse with me. Verse 39, "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What's going to separate you from God? Nothing. Because he spoke the words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he did that, you will never be forsaken by him. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what. In this life, you're going to be forsaken by friends. It's going to happen. Maybe by people. But I assure you, based on what he did and what his word says, you will never be forsaken by him. Well, so what did he do? What did he do as a result of this? So, the next statement, the result for us is this. He has given every believer the Holy Spirit. It's a great truth. You have the Holy Spirit living in you if you have received Him as Savior. You have Him there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. I think there's a couple of lines there for you to write references down. If not, write them down somewhere there. "For we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us." You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You will never, never, never be separated from God. I did a series, I think it was either in the fall, I think it was in the fall, on eternal security. What can separate you from God? And if you're interested in some of that series, I answer a lot of the very common questions about being separated from God. Well, when do you get this Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." All right, so somebody had to tell you the good news of salvation, the gospel of your salvation. Then you've got to make a choice. Having believed, in other words, accepting that good news that Jesus Christ died for you, having believed, you were marked in Him with a, excuse me, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you trusted in Christ, most would say, as I do, that the moment of salvation, you're given the Holy Spirit. It is not something that you have to seek out or try and get or try and find or speak in another tongue for. It is not. It is given to you as a gift at the moment of salvation. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that. Finally, this is great. The result for us is that we will be with God for some of eternity, all eternity. Because He spoke those words, "Father, Father, why have you forgiven me?" You will be with Him for all eternity. We did this series just recently, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. This talks about people who are alive when an event called the rapture takes place, but it applies to all believers. It says this, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with the Lord, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Forever. Now, folks, these are words of hope. These are words of expectation, and they should be words of motivation for us to know God better, to serve God more completely, and to tell others about Him. That's what these words are for. You see, there is a hope of heaven that we have. I'm going to ask that Jim and Crystal and John and Scott come up here, and they're going to lead us. They're actually going to play some special music as they're getting ready. My God, why have you forsaken me? And when you talk about those words, when you think about those words, remember that it all ties in with heaven, the hope, the expectation that we have of being with the Lord forever. This morning, that's what they're singing, Hope of Heaven.
Out to those who don't have the hope that sets me free.